On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
As we know, this weekend marks the first anniversary of the first confirmed case of COVID-19 in the Republic of Ireland, a couple of days after the anniversary of the first case on the island of Ireland. But as we know, we are still facing into a fairly sustained lockdown with only marginal relaxation of any measures between now and at least Easter. One of those measures is the reopening of schools. So to discuss that and the general state of play as regards COVID-19, we are joined on the line by Professor Philip Nolan, who's president of Maynooth University, but also the chief mathematical modeller at NPHET. Philip, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gavin.
And thank you very much for joining us again this Sunday lunchtime. Can I start by talking about that reopening of schools? Because it is the thing that's kicking off tomorrow, and it's the one thing that will change maybe a lot of households' lifestyles in the middle of this sustained lockdown. The proposal is that the first four classes will go back tomorrow and that you might wait 2 weeks before sending back the other four classes. Is 2 weeks long enough to discern any impact from the reopening of schools?
I think it is. So the caution is appropriate, but let's start with where we are. So our 14-day cumulative incidence yesterday was 216 cases per 100,000 population. So that's about two-thirds of where we were at the peak in October. But nonetheless, due to the hard work of school principals and public health doctors and teachers, schools remained open throughout that October surge. So we're below that level. That gives us one piece of assurance. On the other hand, we're now dealing with the B117 variant being the more transmissible variant, being the dominant variant in our transmissions in Ireland. So we have to be very cautious to ensure that more transmissible variant doesn't create an additional challenge in schools. And the second reason for caution is that we know in the past when a particular action has been taken to open up after a long period of lockdown, that creates in its wake a kind of an additional level of socialization among the population generally. So we'd be watching for two things. We remain optimistic that the level of transmission within schools will be low now, just as it was throughout the latter part of 2020, despite the new variant, because of the efforts being made by school principals and teachers.
But a lot of principals, sorry to interrupt you on that point, Philip, but I might as well just seize on that just as you've said it. There doesn't appear to be very much policy change in terms of how schools will operate. So although, yes, school principals, they'll want to make sure that everything is as safe as possible, the physical layout of classrooms is no different this time than it was before Christmas. And now you do have a faster spreading variant in the midst.
Very true. But what we also know is that the measures that interrupted transmission of the old variant also interrupt transmission of the new variant. And the level of transmission in schools was extremely low. In fact, it was hard to find a confirmed case of transmission within schools in the period between September and December. So for that reason, knowing that the risk is already low, knowing that the measures work, and knowing that even though this variant is more transmissible, it is, 40 to 50% more transmissible for sake of argument, put that on top of an already low risk, and we don't think it's going to make a significant difference. But that is the reason for caution. We do need those 2 weeks to assure ourselves that there is no fundamental change in the transmissibility in the school setting, and also to ensure that there isn't this spillover effect into wider society that might push the reproduction number above one.
But is the 2 weeks long enough? Because if people will cast their minds back to last summer when we had the publication of the five phases for the proposed reopening at the time, there was always 3 weeks in between because it was considered that you needed to leave 3 weeks to ascertain exactly what impact something had. And if you're reopening schools tomorrow, then somebody, a school-going child who might, for argument's sake, get infected today, it could be the middle of next week before they start becoming infected. It could be towards next weekend before they themselves start showing symptoms. In the meantime, they may have, for argument's sake, infected some other people in their pod in school. Then it could be the very tail end of next week before those cases start getting reported back to the HPSC and announced by yourself. And it doesn't seem like it's enough time to really make a call in advance of March 15th as to whether the other classes should return.
I think you should read into that none of us are actually expecting a significant change, or we're being appropriately cautious Given that level of caution, if you think back to last summer, there were significant portions of society reopening at any of those given change points. And it was appropriate in that context to wait the 3 weeks because there were big changes. We had very little evidence to go on as to what the result of those changes might be. Over the last year, we've typically seen clear signals of change within 10 days of any significant policy intervention. So we would expect to see early signs within 10 days. And given the very cautious, very slow reopening of education that is planned, we do think that a two-week interval is sufficient to pick up any subtle changes. And if it's necessary to make a policy change, make the policy change in time that it doesn't lead to a significant development of the disease.
Okay. I know that it's not directly comparable with the situation in the UK because classroom layouts are different and school designs and architecture is different. But there are some reports in the British papers today around the rollout of what they're calling surge testing in schools. The idea that every family would be sent home a couple of antigen tests and they could do those tests twice a week to give themselves an extra level of peace of mind, I suppose. Is there any similar tests to be rolled out here?
Well, there's a very powerful and very strong public health support for schools. So our primary action would be, if there was any concern or any suspicion around a school setting, to deploy the public health support and deploy the PCR testing, which, as you know, is more sensitive. We have significant capacity. We have about 10,000 tests a day additional capacity in the system at the moment. So there's plenty of capacity to do very significant testing in any school setting over the coming weeks. Antigen tests, as you know, at the moment are not really proven to be of additional value in the setting of widespread testing for asymptomatic disease. Though there is a working group looking at are there additional ways that we can use antigen testing over and above what we're already using. So right now, we don't think antigen testing is going to be of support in keeping schools open. We think we're better working at the moment with the more sensitive PCR testing so that nothing is missed if there's the need for widespread testing in the school setting.
Is there really all that much capacity? Because I'm looking in terms of the tests that could be done, because I'm looking at the most recent figures, and the figures as of yesterday lunchtime show that there had already been 112,000 tests carried out in the Republic in the last 7 days. Is that not pushing the upper limits of what we have the capacity to do?
No, we had to ramp up the capacity very significantly in the course of the December-January period. So at peak in December-January, the system was doing about 27,000, 28,000 tests a day. We're down to 16,000 to 18,000 tests a day at the moment. So there is that capacity there as it would be needed. And we're also expecting over the coming weeks to see a further decline in the number of people coming forward from the community for symptomatic testing as the level of disease in the wider community continues to fall. So there is significant capacity in the testing system, and we'll be using that capacity to chase down the disease in the coming weeks.
Just on the topic of symptomatic people coming forward, and you mentioned that you expect the numbers to fall in the last couple of weeks. We've seen, unfortunately, that the numbers are fairly stubborn in falling. The most recent 7-day average as of yesterday's cases was 663. It's down about a seventh from the previous week, but it's still not falling very much. The last time we had you on the show, you said that there was no floor through which case numbers could not fall. Are you still quite as confident about that?
Yeah, it's just a question of time. And we've seen a number of positive developments just in the last few days. We've seen test positivity, which seemed to have been stuck at around 7 to 8%, has declined further. And we're also seeing admissions to hospital, which had been plateaued at around 40 to 50 per day, begin to decline. So it's very hard at times. You do in the suppression of the disease often hit a period of a week or 10 days where things really slow down. We saw it in October. We saw a similar thing back in May. We saw a similar thing in July. Can't put our finger on precisely what's going on in those periods. But we have seen a kind of a renewed decrease over the last week to 10 days. So it is really a matter of time. Yes, you're right. We're declining at best 2 to 3% per day, 15% per week. But those things matter. We were over 1,000 cases a day only 2 weeks ago. You're right, we're between 600 and 700 cases a day right now. We could be between 500 and 600 cases a day next week. And unfortunately, as a society, what we need to do is keep chipping away at this. And if we can keep chipping away at the level of community transmission and get that down further, it gives us options in terms of things like school, ultimately things like construction and retail and so on a little bit further down the line.
If they keep only declining at the current rate that they are of somewhere between 10 and 15% a week, then if you extrapolate that for another 6 weeks, you still only get to a daily average of around 250 by Easter, which is the time at which level five is scheduled to lapse. Will that be a low enough rate to consider the full reopening of society, given that that was the rate we had just at the start of December and look where things got then?
Well, we prefer it to be lower, obviously, and you never know. As I say, the future course of these things can be quite unpredictable, and there's a huge difference between a decline of 2% per day and a decline of 4% per day. So, I really would take the fact that we're still going down. I mean, this is an important thing to remember. The case numbers in Ireland are still going down, despite the fact that 90% of the cases in this country are the B.1.1.7 variant. Right across Europe, we're beginning to see case numbers start to increase again. And in those countries, a minority of cases are the more transmissible B.1.1.7 variant. So we have to really, take stock of how much we've achieved collectively over the last several weeks. But unfortunately, and it's like nobody's fault in a way, we do have this very difficult and very challenging variant, just as our colleagues in the UK have to fight against.
Well, as you say that it's nobody's fault, and fair enough, because the new variant does spread more easily and therefore it takes harder measures to try and drive it down. We've been in lockdown now for pretty much 2 months. We'll park everything before Christmas. We've been in lockdown basically since New Year's Eve. We're now at the very end of February. It's 2 months and the cases are still in the mid 600s per day. And it sort of makes you wonder, why isn't it going any further? Is it just purely because of the qualities of this new variant that makes it more resilient, that it's more likely to leap around when we're even doing the bare essentials? Or is there maybe a question of lockdown not being adhered to, or lockdown being too loosely defined and allowing too many things, and maybe we need to reconsider that?
I think it's largely down to the new variant. It is like the position that we're in. So I'll come back. We're not stuck. We're continuing to make progress. That progress feels very slow. A reduction of 15% per week, when you put it like that, sounds reasonable. But when you look at it in daily numbers, as we are, it seems like really slow progress. But we're still making progress. And the difficulty is, where we're at is a reproduction number of 0.7, 0.8, 0.9, just below one. And if we didn't have the B.1.1.7 variant and we were behaving as we are, our reproduction number would probably be closer to 0.5, 0.6, and case numbers would be falling very quickly,
Okay.
like they did in October and like they did
So
last
it
May.
is the qualities of the variant itself rather than any
It
behavior.
really is. And when you look around, I know we worry, we're seeing a little bit more traffic. We hear about the occasional social get together. We see outbreaks from time to time. But the vast majority of people are trying very hard and finding it really difficult, but still sticking with it. And we do have to remember, you ask, what kind of case numbers do we need to get to be safe? We need to factor in the time between any reopening and vaccination. So over the coming weeks, two things are going to happen. One, case numbers will continue to decline. But two, we're going to get more certainty about when will people be vaccinated and how effective that vaccination is going to be.
And do you
And it's
build
looking.
those into your mathematical models when they're being presented to the rest of NPHET and then passed on to government? Because, and I don't want to lay the whole responsibility
No,
for
no.
closing down the country at your feet and the others who are involved in mathematical modelling, but if your models build in the fact that vaccinations will, continue to drive down the rate of spread, then the government might be more inclined to do things that save people's jobs and get people back to normality.
Absolutely, we do. And up until now, we've had to present them to government with very significant uncertainty around them. In particular, It's not clear the extent to which vaccination interrupts transmission. As we get greater clarity on that, we can bring greater certainty to the impact of vaccination, when and how much. And you're absolutely right. Right now, we're in this vulnerable period where if we open up too much, we will get a really significant fourth wave of disease. So quite rightly, government has been exceptionally cautious now not to trigger something that will have the disease back out of control again. But when we're looking into particularly May, June, July, at that point, we should be seeing really widespread vaccination of the population underway. And we should also know what is the effect of that likely to be on transmission. And then the risk assessment that the government needs to do is different from the set of risks that they're facing right now. So we do factor that in, and it is going to be transformative over the coming weeks as we become more certain in terms of what options we have going into the early and middle parts of the summer.
Okay. On that note then, just a final question before I let you go, something perhaps somewhat introspective, given that it's now 12 months this weekend since the first case. How much longer do you foresee there having to be some kind of meaningful restrictions on how people gather and how they go about their lives? And did you ever think that we'd be still at it 12 months onwards?
I didn't really. To answer the second question first, I thought we might be, you know, mopping up at the end of a pandemic at this point. One of the things I do have to say is that effective vaccination, we all hoped, it was our most optimistic hope, that we might have a moderately to highly effective vaccine available in the spring. The fact that we have several highly effective vaccines available and rolling out in the spring is really quite extraordinary. So in one sense, we didn't expect to be here. We expected that we would have brought it under control sooner than now, but here we are. In terms of the length of time for which we need restrictions, my sense is there'll be a point later in the year when a lot of the restrictions, first, I anticipate there'll be some progressive easing of restrictions over time. From April, May onwards. There'll probably be a point at which we have quite widespread vaccination that many of the restrictions can fall away very quickly, particularly if vaccination is highly effective, as we hope it might be, in interrupting transmission. But really, until we come close to eliminating this virus, probably through the impact of vaccination, there's certain settings that we're going to have to be really, really careful in. So I think, if I can put it this way, I remember when I first started working in China, being just a little bit surprised by the circumstances in which people were wearing masks, finding it frankly a little bit odd. So I think care and attention to, in certain circumstances, we may be wearing masks for a while. We're going to be careful with our hand hygiene for a while. We're going to be careful not to be too crowded into the one setting for a while. But many of the other restrictions, I really would hope, can start to fall away in the course of the summer.
Fingers crossed. Philip Nolan, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for your time this lunchtime. Professor Philip Nolan, President of Maynooth University and Chair of the Mathematical Modelling Team at NEFET.